Well, welcome everyone to the Blaze Radio Studio. We're so happy to have you here after a week off. We're back. It's Chase Beardsley alongside Trey Matthews. Welcome back to What You're Talking About here. Man, Nationals, and that's what went down not too long ago. It was a fun time, and man, did ASU have a Nationals of a lifetime. Wow. It was incredible. We're breaking it all down here, along with some other breaking news that has happened in the past couple of days. I mean, I'll get Trey's thoughts first, and then I'll share my thoughts. Trey, I mean, Nationals, what'd you think?
Well, Nationals was a lot of fun, first and foremost. I enjoyed my time there, but I gotta begin with this. I'm a little angered that you didn't use my call in the promo because I was on radio, which I think is easier to obtain than Flow Sports, because don't they have a paywall? But anyway, digressing a little bit.
I didn't have to pay for anything.
You didn't have to pay for anything?
No.
I thought they had a paywall.
Shout out to all the parents out there.
Oh, great. Okay, so you cheated the system. I respect that. But anyway.
Bro.
But anyway, you could have, yeah, you could have used my call. But anyway, I guess that's payback for, I guess, me, quote unquote, lying a couple weeks ago on air.
Yeah.
But on a serious topic, Nationals honestly exceeded my expectations. It really did, because I didn't expect I'll be completely honest, ASU, they went further than I anticipated, and they lost the first game to Adrian College. Then they had that great win against Maryville when it all was looking bleak, all hope was lost, and then against Liberty University, they almost stunned the ACHA, because prior to this tournament, the last time Liberty lost in a playoff series at the ACHA National Tournament was 2017.
And that was in the finals.
And that's, yeah, it's been a while.
Yeah, it was a impressive run. We'll recap it here right now because of how impressive it was. But anyway, I mean, let's start. Obviously, Trey, you mentioned Adrian College, the first game of Nationals, and it was an unfortunate 5-0 loss. Although Quinn kept them in it for, I would say, two periods. It sucks, but from that moment on, I believed that Adrian College was the best team in Nationals. They looked like a freaking awesome team. They looked good. They looked like a well-organized team that had a lot of physical aspects to it. Their goaltender was named, I believe, second all-team athletic for the ACHA regular season, which is no easy feat. It was a good game. I definitely think ASU, it was closer than what the score said, but ASU just couldn't get their offense going, and it sucked because they had, again, a good run there.
Yeah, I mean, after the first period, I thought ASU had a legitimate chance against Adrian College just because it was tied, it was scoreless, and I was just like, okay, if ASU can score the first goal of the game, they're going to give themselves a chance. However, if they lost, or if they gave up the first goal, then that's when I was like, okay, this might not be so good. But for Adrian College, I think ASU can sleep well at night knowing that their worst game of Nationals was against the reigning national champions. And congratulations to Adrian College. And I know people are going to joke about that with me or say like, oh, are you a national champion now? No, I'm not, because I'm not with that program anymore. Congratulations to them. But I definitely have my opinions that are not so good.
Sure you do.
Yeah.
I'm sure you do.
And which I'm really tempted to share on this show now that the season is over. But for the sake of not wanting to burn any bridges between ASU and Adrian, I guess I think it's best for me not to share it. But I'll just say, like, there's such thing as being a gracious winner, Adrian College. Just saying, like, and what? I left for a reason. There's that sentiment. But I think for ASU, it was a struggle. I think nerves played a factor, because at their practice, coming from some people, including yourself, you said like they need to work on their passing just a little bit more. And I'm sure, like, it was the same situation as last year. Nerves are building up. Adrenaline is building up. You're playing on a much bigger scale. And now it's just like nothing was coming to fruition. And I guess that could be the same thing as to what happened in the Maryville game, which was very slow start. But luckily, they picked it up at the right possible time, scoring three power play goals. But I was like, if they want any chance to beat Liberty University, they cannot rely on the power play to bail them out. They got to score 5-on-5. That's exactly what they did.
Yeah. You know, something that I've noticed a lot about covering this team is that they want to be punched in the face first and then win some games. If you recall, every single ranked opponent that they played throughout this season, they lost the first games against them and then won the second games, sometimes dominantly, sometimes, you know, convincingly, sometimes, you know, with luck. But that's exactly what happened here. We thought ASU was down for the count because Maryville was up 2-0 at the end of the second. Trey came over to me and said, thank you for the season.
I did not.
Trey even had his flight booked for that the next morning.
Because I had to cover the Coyotes and Devils, but I pushed it back.
All right. Anyway, so down 2-0.
Under the bus, Chase. There's going to be a problem.
Down 2-0. ASU scores 2. And it was pretty awesome. The whole arena was rocking. And we'll talk about the whole experience after we're done digesting these games. And then an OT off of Tristan Craig's shot from the blue line. The same shot that fooled Maryville earlier in the third period. Sam Murphy tips the shot, and ASU wins their first ever game at Nationals 3-2 against Maryville, who they've had, I don't want to call it a rivalry because I don't think ASU has a rivalry yet, but this is probably the closest thing to a very professional rivalry. Because if you noticed, I wrote this in my article, ASU's path has been intertwined with Maryville since last year when they met at Nationals and Maryville helped knock them out. But this year, 3-2, your final in OT. Sam Murphy scores the OT winner. A lot of people said Sydney Paulson had a tip. I don't think that was the case.
Yeah, Billy showed us the video, and when you look at it in slow motion, it's tough to tell, but I don't think Paulson tipped it in.
I don't think so. But in any case, Quinn Eanger with an incredible performance. She made so many saves, and we'll get to Quinn's best game of the year in a second. But a 3-2 OT final, ASU moves on, and they face the number one seed, Liberty University. A little history for you about Liberty University. They've won, well, up until this year, they've won the past 5 straight championships.
They would have won in 2020 if that tournament did not get canceled.
In 7 years, they won 6 of them. There was only one that I believe Miami won against them. But they've appeared in every finals up to that point. I was 13 the last time Liberty wasn't in the finals.
And let me add some more information. Liberty overall in the tournament, 26-2-1, dating back to March 2014.
Yeah, I was 13. I was 13 when Liberty last didn't make the finals at all.
Last time Liberty lost in the ACHA tournament, like we said at the beginning of this episode, March 19th, 2017.
And that was against Miami, I believe. But, you know, everyone was confident going into that matchup. Everyone. It was kind of scary.
Here's the thing. Like, Liberty lost their point-per-game player halfway through the season because she ended up graduating. But I was, like, taking my notes. I actually called you about this. I was like, what's going on with Liberty University? They don't look as dominant because I've been
– They weren't.
Because I've been covering the ACHA for the past 5 years, and Liberty was always had the top-notch players. They were always a threat to, like, get 10 goals on you if you weren't careful. But looking back on it, they only had – once again, they only had one player to average a point per game, and it was Britton Fussy, but she graduated in December, so she was only with the team – halfway through the year, which I didn't know was allowed, but
Sam did it last year. Yeah.
Well, Sam transferred back and now she's still playing, but like fussy in this case. Like, she started.
Oh, she graduated and came back? Yeah.
No, she graduated. No. She started the season, graduated in December, and was off the roster now. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah, I get what you're saying.
I didn't know that was allowed. Like, because I thought if a player is going to graduate halfway through the season, they're not allowed to play. But I guess that's a little different because I won't go into detail because I think ASU had a similar situation with one of their players in which that player was going to graduate in December and couldn't compete the entirety of the season. I don't know if that's a personal decision or if it's a ACHA decision, but that's what the coaching staff told me at Liberty University. But digressing a little bit, looking at the stats, it didn't seem like Liberty was looked as dominant when I'm scoreboard watching, like when I'm looking at it from a when I'm looking at from an optic standpoint. And I even asked you, is Liberty as dominant as they were, and how are they the first seed? That was my thing.
Well, they were the first seed because they won their conference championship against number 2 Midland, so that vaulted them into the number 1 seed. But Midland had the number 1 seed up until the last couple of weeks. But here is a quote from Sam Murphy. We'll hope that plays about Liberty.
Obviously, Liberty has been the ACHA Women's National Champion for a long time now. And it would be so huge for us to be the ones to kind of knock them off their throne. That would be super exciting. One of my best friends is on Liberty. She was my vet in juniors. So I was talking to her yesterday after our game, and she said that they're actually a little bit nervous to play us because they haven't been on the ice at all. They had one practice, and we have 2 games under our belt. So they're going in a little bit rusty, and we're already warmed up and fired up. So we just need to catch them on their heels and kind of surprise them.
Awesome. All right. Well, that was Sam Murphy right before the Liberty game.
I actually, I don't know, you were standing right by me when I was doing my play-by-play. I actually used that example in my broadcast. I intertwined it, and I said, like, the Sun Devils are confident, according to Sam Murphy, who has a friend on the team, and that friend says they're a little nervous to play ASU just because they might be a little rusty with all the byes. And I was actually talking to Brooke Kimmel about this. I don't know how much bye games help teams. Like, you see this in the MLB where a team gets, like, a bye series. But I'm just like, does that really help? Because now you got to face a team that's coming off a win. And you got to face a team that's coming off, like, a couple games played. I don't think that really helps you in that case, if I'm being completely honest.
I also want to play this quote. This is probably one of my favorite quotes from this weekend. But here it is.
You know, it's always the same game plan, always the same, you know, team structures, things like that. But we have absolutely nothing to lose here. It's Liberty that has everything to lose. So the pressure is on them, not us, which is really nice, you know, emotion-wise.
That was probably one of my favorite quotes from this these playoffs, simply because Lindsay was right. That was Coach Lindsay Ellis. All the pressure was on Liberty. ASU had completed their goal. They won a game in Nationals. They took another step forward in their program. And, yeah, it was a game. First off, Quinn, holy crap. She played amazing. I do not say this without, insurance. I am not softly saying this. I think Quinn is the best goaltender in the ACHA now.
Whoa.
I think she is, because of this game and simply this game alone. And no one came close to this. Minot's goaltender, arguably, but she made around the same amount of saves in an additional period. Quinn.
Well, here's the thing. Like, then ASU also go into an extra period?
But Minot went to double OT. So she had an extra period to catch up to Quinn's saves. Quinn made 70-plus saves, and it was freaking impressive. I will get more to her, but Liberty scored late in the second, ASU down again, and the third period magic once again works out for ASU. Tristan Craig scores, Sidney Paulson scores to make it a 2-1 game, and it seemed like ASU was going to knock off the top-seeded Liberty. The basically icon of the ACHA until 2 minutes left, ASU takes a penalty, and Liberty scores and it just sucked all the momentum off. Go into OT, and late into the OT period, they finally get a puck past Quinn, get the rebound into the net, and that is done for ASU. But two things. One, as I said, Quinn was incredible. Fan-flipping-tastic. It was so good that all the parents, when Quinn walked out of that locker room, including the Liberty parents, were having a standing ovation for her. And it was incredible. It was impressive. It was awesome to see. I was fortunate enough to film that. And Quinn ended up on Hockey House, ESPN. It was incredible. And going off that, this was incredible by ASU. The fact that they managed to get to one goal away from the semifinals is impressive. And they almost took down Liberty. And I think because of that and of all the noise they made in the national tournament and all the heads they've turned and now they're featured nationally, you're going to see a lot more players commit to ASU, not just, you know, incoming freshmen, but you're going to see a lot more transfers, and you can mark my words on that.
Yeah, so going back to what you just said, that Liberty power play goal, they initially had pulled their goalie, Alexandra Keith, so it was 6-on-5 in terms of skaters for the Flames. And then Sam gets that penalty, whether it was justified or not. She goes to the box, and then Liberty says, okay, here's what we're going to do. 6-on-4 now. Once again, it falls into their favor. All ASU had to do was just get the empty netter goal, and unfortunately it skittered right past their fingertips. But I want to go back to that quote that Lindsay said, which was, ASU didn't have anything to lose. They had everything to gain, but nothing to lose. And my dad always said, don't fight someone who has nothing to lose. And that's exactly what the Sun Devils did. And Quinn Eatinger, heck of a performance. Just phenomenal.
Best goaltender in the ACHA. She also got named to the second team nationals by the ACHA, even though the ACHA screwed it up and put a image of Carson Helm.
Yeah, that's
good job, ACHA.
Yeah, fantastic job, ACHA. I also have my complaints for you. Don't interrupt my broadcast without asking around. But anyway, as I was saying, Quinn Eatinger, just phenomenal in between the pipes for the Sun Devils. And I'm actually going to do a story about this for Cronkite News, but it's just like, it's amazing how last year she only played in one regular season game. And now fast forward to March 2024, she made 70-plus saves, which, by the way, we couldn't keep track because there was no shots on goal on the scoreboard.
ACHA.
I couldn't keep track. I wish I could have hammered it more on the broadcast, but I legitimately couldn't tell you. But she did phenomenal in between the pipes for the Sun Devils, and it was just amazing to see. And you can't script it any better. Now going from playing in one game to now on the biggest national scale, almost upsetting the top ACHA dog, arguably, Quinn Eatinger, round of applause.
Yep. Absolutely. I mean, I think a lot of that goes to Quinn, but I think a lot of that also goes to new goaltending coach Evan Hauser, who's done an incredible job coming in. And I think, you know, you're going to see a lot of goaltenders come out of this program now just because Evan's there. Because I think without Evan, I really think Quinn wouldn't be as good. I think she still would be good, but I think Evan just took her to a whole new level, and that's just a compliment to the relationship between the two as coach and goaltender. And real quick, I wanted to say something. I forgot what I was going to say, but we'll talk more about the experience at Nationals. I think next week I want to kind of go over. Well, actually, I have a couple things that I want to do because – I do want to point out that when Quinn was featured on ESPN and on Hockey House, there had to be some haters coming out of nowhere in the comment section. So Trey and I are going to read through those comments next week and debunk them all. That's going to be a fun, fun episode. I'm very excited for that. But going back to this, final thoughts from Nationals, at least in terms of ASU playing wise, you know, they have nothing to be ashamed of. They came out of that locker room with their heads held high, and absolutely they should have been. They shouldn't have gone to where they were, or at least, sorry, let me rephrase that. People weren't expecting this team to go to where they were. Last year, it was just sadness when they lost to Miami in the second game, because arguably they should have won that game. But this year, I mean, they went above and beyond, and congrats to ASU. I'm very excited to cover this team next year. I'm very excited to see where this team could go, because I have never said this on air, and I have never said this in any of my writing or any of my tweets, but I'm going to say it for the first time. I believe ASU has a chance to win the national title.
I would just say this. I get what you're saying, and I definitely don't want to doubt them, but I hope, here's what I hope Lindsey does next year. You got to schedule more highly ranked opponents, and I'm not just talking about like Maryville, who was ranked number 5. I'm talking about, like, I would like to see Liberty on the schedule more consistently, Midland, Adrian, one of those teams. So that way, twice a year.
Maybe we'll see Adrian now that you're gone.
Probably, if I'm being completely honest, because I think Lindsey would do anything to make sure that Adrian and ASU did not play. But anyway, but they only played each other once prior to the tournament game. But anyway, on a more serious
note. How many anyways can you say?
Be quiet. be quiet before I get this show off air.
Sir, I'm running the control panel.
I will say the George Carlin 7 words you can't say on a TV set, and we're going to be off air permanently.
It acts like Grace Del Pizzo is listening to us right now.
She probably will at some point. As I was saying. Okay. Here's what I want to see on the schedule. First half of the year, one of those top-notch opponents. Second half of the year, one of those top-notch opponents again. So that way, like, you can get a better assessment as to where your team is at in terms of that kind of competition. Because I do understand what you're saying. They definitely have the potential to go even further in the national tournament next year, and that's what I'm projecting. But I would like to see them go up against those top-notch opponents more consistently, because it was hard for me to assess Liberty versus ASU, because last time those two teams played against one another, you would have to go back to Oceanside Ice Arena that has now since been demolished.
Rip.
So that's my thing, which is I get what you're saying, but I want to see more of those top three opponents in next year's schedule.
No comment. I'm going to play this this quote from Sydney real quick that we got after the loss to Liberty, and then we're going to move on to some more recent news. So let's play this.
Yeah, I'm excited to see all the new players and what they have in store for us, as well as just being able to continue to get better as a team and show other teams that we can win the national title one day.
There you go. It's going to be a fun season next year. I think you're going to see a lot of new faces that are going to be great players. I also think you're going to see a lot of returnees. And we'll talk about the players we're excited for couple episodes down the road. We have a lot of stuff planned while we embrace the offseason, including Trey Matthews' farewell episode that will take place somewhere in May. But yeah, that's it from our national recap. But let's get into two recent news that took place in the past 2 weeks, including one during nationals. One is not as connected to the team. The other, it's very interesting. I kind of expected it, but I kind of didn't. Let's start with the first one. Alana Main committed to U of A, the defenseman from Pentagon, BC. That last name, if you think it sounds familiar, it does, because that is Andy Main, former captain, former forward's sister, who is committed to U of A. So that is a great pickup, in my opinion, for U of A, just because of the culture, at least, that I know Andy brought to the last year's locker room. If Alana has anything like that, the locker room will be way better, because again, that main family is insane in terms of just passion for the sport. So congrats to Alana. We've seen her around this team when Andy was playing. So it's good to see that, you know, the main family will continue in the ACHA, even though it's in U of A. And speaking of U of A, this is the news that maybe shocked some people. It didn't really shock me. I was just surprised a little bit, but then it made sense. But Riley Armstrong committed to U of A, the defenseman, the former ASU defenseman. As recent as a couple months ago, she was on the team as a Sun Devil. She only played two games in her tenure as a defenseman at ASU. But again, her, similar to Andy and Alana, her locker room presence was insane. She brought energy. Every time we saw her, just the energy was insane. She did a lot for this team, and they're going to miss it. Look, we'll be honest in here. Riley didn't play a lot.
No, she did not. But it sometimes just goes into the locker room because
exactly.
She was voted the mother of the team. And I think that says a lot as to what she brought. And we talked about it back in, January, when the team was on a bit of a losing skid or playing a little inconsistently. Riley was no longer on the team. And sometimes you miss that type of locker room presence where you have someone who just brings everyone together. She wasn't exactly – I guess you could consider her a vet since she was in year two, but she didn't have the most experience. But at the same time, she brought a lot to the locker room.
And two games played as a Sun Devil. She'll be switching her number from 25 to 27, Maddie Platson's number. We'll see who gets that number on ASU over the offseason as Maddie leaves. I'm sad because of all those players that are leaving. But, yeah, this is someone that we kind of expected to move on. We didn't expect Riley to get any playing time this next couple of seasons. So it makes sense. She wants to play hockey, so she'll get a lot of chances down in U of A as they start to build their team. I do not want to spit any rumors here, but I
be careful, Chase.
I think we could see some more players that might have been top tier players 2-3 years ago, be pushed out of the lineup and want to go somewhere else just because they're not getting playing time. And it makes sense. But again, I don't know if that's going to happen. That's just speculation. I think you could see it happen, especially as this team gets better. But I think most, if not all, of these players are going to stay because they want to finish it off. They want to see ASU get to the national title, which is very, very likely. But for now, we hit the off season off and running. Already some breaking news with Riley Armstrong committing to Rivals U of A. We're going to see her at least probably four times throughout the season. We'll see what U of A can do in their first year. I'm very excited to see them. Not excited to go to Tucson, but excited to see U of A put a team on the ice. Anyway, any final thoughts, Trey?
I think it's been a great season for the Sun Devils. They exceeded expectations. They've taken a step in the right direction. I'm sure next step is to win more consistently and at least at Nationals and maybe get yourself off to a better start. But I think what Lindsay Ellis one time told me was they're trying to build a national program team. And honestly, they're in the right direction. They might get there a little sooner than anticipated.
They have taken massive steps in the program. Evan Hoster, again, great goaltending coach. With Quinn, who is a fantastic goaltender, I think has really provided a jolt start into competing for a national title sooner than maybe Lindsay expected. But again, massive steps in the program. I'm very excited to see what they can do next season with even more recruits coming in that are supposed to be better and maybe some transfers. Who knows? But that'll pretty much do it. Real quick. It's the off season. We know there's not a lot going to happen from here on out. Maybe some recruitment news here and there, or transfer news, but not a lot. But it's okay because what you're talking about will be on air until, I believe, May on Blaze Radio Live, 8:30 every Friday. So make sure to tune in. We got a lot to talk about, including next episode, we're going to debunk some of these incredible, in quotation marks, comments on Quinn's post that was supposed to be a fantastic thing, but some people wanted to turn it into a freaking nightmare in the comment section. So we're going to debunk some of those quotes next episode. We'll also talk about our ACHA national title, or sorry, our ACHA nationals experience. We'll also talk about a lot of topics coming up in the next couple of weeks. We're going to talk about our top players of the league of the year, some players to look out for next year, so on and so forth. But that will pretty much do it for this week's episode. Trey, where can they find you on Twitter and Instagram?
Find me on Twitter at TreyMath4. Find me on Instagram at TreyEmeryMatthews.
You can find me, ChaseBeardsley_, on Twitter. All the recaps and previews are up for this past season, so make sure to check them all out. I'm honored to be coming back for the third season of ASU Women's Hockey. Excited that I completed my second season all the way in St. Louis. And excited to continue what you're talking about for its third season coming up next year with a new host that we'll have to find as Trey goes into the unknown. You can follow me on Chase Beardsley Sports on Instagram. Go ahead and follow what you're talking about on all podcasting platforms, Apple, Spotify, even Amazon if you use that for some reason. But again, thank you so much for being with us all season long. We are so excited to see where this team goes next, and we're so excited to bring you more content throughout the offseason. Otherwise, please have a great rest of your weeks. We'll see you next Friday.